ask that you be with them, those that love them and care for them, that they may know that you are with them and that they are loved by us. We ask that you be present with us as we deal with our own hurts and our own struggles, as we deal with the crises of everyday life, that we may know that you are all-powerful, that you have control, and that you deal with us in love and in mercy. Be with us now as we worship together, that we may see you and hear you and know you more fully. In the name of Jesus Christ, our elder brother and our friend. Amen.
I've often thought that one of the most unenviable positions anyone could have would be president of a small private college. They have one of the most difficult jobs of anybody I can imagine. Our guest today in chapel is Dr. Paul Kortz, president of Wingate College in Wingate, North Carolina. He has been president there since the summer of 1983. He went to Georgetown College and Indiana University for his education, taught speech at Western Kentucky University for 10 years, went out to Oklahoma Baptist University as executive vice president, and eventually landed at Wingate College as president. He comes from an illustrious family. His brother Tom is president of Sanford University. He has a brother Mark who's pastor in Winston-Salem. And he says that he even has some other brothers, but I've failed to get their names and locations. However, Paul Kortz is going to lead us in worship after the anthem, and we welcome him warmly.
It's good to be on your campus, and it was especially nice to drive onto the campus and turn onto Wingate Street and actually have somebody know to call it Wingate instead of Wingate, although I kind of like Wingate. It's good to look out and see several Wingateites out in the audience as well, including Frank Sandusky. And it's a pleasure for me to stand here and speak on this campus where Washington Manley Wingate once presided as president of Wake Forest back in the late 1800s. For our devotional thought this morning, I turn to Mark chapter 12, verses 28 and following. One of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, asked him, "Which commandment is the first of all?" And Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength.' The second is this, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.'" Abraham Lincoln, in the middle of the Civil War at a time that was especially one of despair for him, it is said, made this pronouncement: "Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God who made us." I wonder sometimes if in our own generation we have become so very proud of all that we are and all that we have been able to accomplish. We lose sight of the wonderful power of the Almighty, the one who loved us into being and the one whose love sustains us. When asked what is that great commandment, Jesus responded with the age-old commandment of loving the Lord God, and added to it to make what is known as the twin commandment: we should love our neighbor as ourself. I want us to look very quickly at the three basic kinds of love that are demonstrated in this passage. First, we are reminded that we should love the Lord our God with all our heart and with all our soul. There's a passage in which Jesus confronts Simon Peter and asks him, "Simon, do you love me?" You know that passage well. Simon responds, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus asks again, Simon, do you love me? And he responds, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus asks the third time, perhaps reflective of the three times that Peter had denied him, Peter, do you really love me? To which Peter responds, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Though there are many things that we could take from that passage, to me, I gain the sense of our Lord asking Peter, do you really love me, heart and soul, through and through, with all that is in you? Peter, do you love me? Peter responds, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And one of the great questions for us, a question which should ring in our minds often, and to which I think we should often make reaffirmation, is to hear the words of our Lord asking us, do you really love me, heart and soul and all that you are? And we need to constantly reiterate and reaffirm, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. We're told also that we are to love the Lord our God with all our minds. Those of us involved in Christian higher education appreciate this particular type of love. Loving God not only with heart and soul, but to love him with all of our minds. You will recall the passage in which Scripture tells us that after our Lord's crucifixion and resurrection, he came to be with his disciples. And as he came back to be with them, one of the disciples was not with them for whatever reason. Mourning the loss of his Savior, he had gone private or whatever. Thomas was not there. And later, as the disciples met Thomas and told him of having seen the risen Lord, Thomas, with his intellectual integrity, shares to the other disciples that I cannot understand, I cannot comprehend this, and I will not accept what I cannot understand. I will not believe what is unbelievable to me. This is incomprehensible. And so unless I see it, I won't believe it. And unless I can put my finger into the nail prints of his hand and put my fist into that wound of the spear in his side, I won't believe. Some call him Doubting Thomas, but we don't have to doubt Thomas's love for God. He was the one that when the other disciples didn't want Jesus to go back to deal with Lazarus's illness, Thomas said, let us go also that we may die with him. We don't have to question his love for God. But he demonstrates here great intellectual integrity, a desire to love God with all his mind. The beauty of the story is that when confronted with the evidence, when Jesus came back to the disciples again and Thomas this time was with them, Jesus turned to Thomas and said to Thomas, come, experience the proof that you need for your faith. Thomas fell and worshipped him, my Lord and my God. I believe. I know I have experienced. I believe. The great tragedy is that so many do not seek him. And not seeking him, they do not find him. They have little intellectual integrity. Tennyson said, there lives more faith in honest doubt, believe me, than in half the creeds. Bacon, in Advancement of Learning, said that if one must begin with certainties, he shall certainly end in doubt. But if he is willing to begin with doubt, he shall certainly end in certainties. We should love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. And we should love him with all our strength, and we should love our neighbor as ourselves. In loving him with all our strength, I think of the passage of the Good Samaritan story, in which we have the account of the one who was overtaken by the robbers and beaten and left, bleeding and bruised and cut up and hurt, and suffering, and laying at the side. And there came one along who was too interested in the devotional life. He indeed loved God, no doubt, with all his heart and soul. But he walked by the one who was in hurt and in need. And the Levite came by, and he no doubt loved God with heart and soul, loved him with all his mind as well, but so caught up in the devotional life and the life of study that he walked on by the one that was hurting and aching and so in need of God's love. And then the one came along who loved God, not only with heart and soul and mind, but loved him with all his strength, and came and ministered and helped, nurtured, healed, spoke so much about God's love in the simple act of loving the one by the side of the road. How easy it is to get caught up in the emotionalism of loving God with heart and soul and all our being. How easy I think it is even to get caught up in loving God with all our minds. Was it Kierkegaard who said we invent learning to escape God? But how difficult sometimes it is to love God with all our strength, to reach out in His name to a world that needs the healing touch of the love of God so deeply. We can get caught up in loving Him with heart and soul and mind and forget to live the very life of faith. Jesus attached to this great command to make the twin commandment that we should love our neighbor as ourself. He has taught us, I believe, in the example of the story of the Good Samaritan, that our neighbor is whoever is close to us, whoever is in need, without respect to geographic boundaries, without respect to theological position, without respect to any of the standards of the world's application. Those who truly love God with heart and soul and mind and strength shall love their neighbor as themselves. A story is told of Karl Barth, who spoke at Union Seminary in Virginia. At the conclusion of his lecture, very long and detailed lecture, he opened the floor to questions, and it said that one of the seminarians asked him, "Dr. Barth, what is the most profound theological truth that you have ever experienced?" The story is that after a few moments of silence, the great theologian responded very simply with this profound truth: "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." When you think about that, that is an enormously profound truth. God loves us. Jesus loves me. And that is profound. His love for me compels me to love. To love God with heart and soul and mind and strength. And I pray it shall compel me to love my neighbor as myself. How tragic it is that that is sometimes not the case. Robert Browning in Death in a Desert penned it this way: "For I say this is death, and the soul death, when a man's loss comes to him from his gain, darkness from light, from knowledge ignorance, and lack of love from love made manifest." May God help us to love Him with heart and soul and mind and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Let us pray. Father God, Your word speaks sharply to us. It penetrates the innermost sanctums of our being. We have confessed with our tongues that we love You. With our minds, we study Your love. God, help us with hands and feet, and with all the strength that we can muster, to reach out to a hurting world to minister Your love in Your name. We pray through Christ our Lord. Amen.